Yamuna tira vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Javihari Jai Radha Madhava Javihari Gopi Janavalava Girivanudari Gopi Janavalava Girivanudari Solanandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamishan Padmana Mahamsa Prayodakacharya Asa Tera Sutta Shishi Mad His Divine Grace Sila A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Sila Prabhupada Ki Ananti Goda Vaishnava Niki Jai Namacharya Sila Harina Sdaka Niki Jai Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Prem Zigaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Samakun Radhakun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Nam Ki Jai, Sri Maya Pranavi Nam Ki Jai, Ganga Maya Ki Jai, Jamuna Maya Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai. Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi. All glorious summer devotees. All glorious summer devotees. All glorious summer devotees. All glorious Shishi Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Today's Srimad Bhagavatam class speaker came to Krishna consciousness in 1978. He was the Sankirtan leader in Miami shortly thereafter. That's a small period of time. They asked him to be the temple president. He then resumed his book distribution activities. In the early 2000s, they asked him to become the minister of book distribution. His Grace, Vijay Prabhu!
So I was told, when I was asked to give class, to choose your verse. So I chose my verse, and I told them what verse it was, but they didn't put it up. So I'm just going to chant this verse. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today is the disappearance day of Madhavendra Puri, so we're going to hear the glories of a great Vaishnava. So this will be Madhya Lila, chapter 4, for those of you who have devices, text number 147. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Sri Chaitanya Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Pratisthara Bhaya Puri Ghila Palana Krishna Prema Pratishta Chale Sangha Garadhan. Please repeat. Pratisthara Bhaya. In fear of reputation. Puri Madhavendra Puri Ghila went away. Palana. Fleen, Krishna Prema, in love of Krishna, Pratishta, reputation, Chale, goes, Sange, simultaneously, Gadhana, gliding down. Translation and purport, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Being afraid of his reputation, Pratishta, Madhavendra Puri fled from Remuna. But the reputation brought by love of Godhead is so sublime that it goes along with the devotee as if following him. Purport. Almost all the conditioned souls within the material world are envious. Jealous people generally turn against one who automatically attain some reputation. This is natural for jealous people. Consequently, when a devotee is fit to receive worldly reputation, he is envied by many people. This is quite natural. When a person, out of humility, does not desire fame, people generally think him quite humble, and consequently give him all kinds of fame. Actually, a Vaishnava does not hanker after fame or a great reputation. Madhavendra Puri, the king of Vaishnavas. You hear that? The king of Vaishnavas. Bore his reputation, but he wanted to keep himself outside of the vision of the general populace. He wanted to cover his real identity as a great devotee of the Lord, but when people saw him overwhelmed in the ecstasy of love of Godhead, they naturally gave credit to him. Actually, a first-class reputation is due Madhavendra Puri because he was a most confidential devotee of the Lord. Sometimes, a sahajiya presents himself as being void of desires for reputation, pratistha, in order to become famous as a humble man. Such people cannot actually attain the platform of celebrated Vaishnavas. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukram Kotavachalang Pungun Langhayate Gurim Yat Kripa Tadaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Vanchikalpa Chibhyascha Kripa Sindhu Jayavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very nice verse. Satang prasangang mama virya sangvado bhavanti prit karna rasayana katha tajosanat asva bhavarga vartmani shradharvatir bhaktir anukramishyati. This verse goes on to say that devotees of the Lord in the association of other devotees derive great happiness in hearing about Krishna and his wonderful glories. Indeed, simply by hearing about Krishna, one gains great faith in Krishna. One gains Shraddharatir, one gains a taste for Krishna consciousness, and ultimately one attains love for Krishna. So not only by hearing the glories of Krishna do we attain this, but by hearing the glories of great devotees, such as Madhavendra Puri. Just by hearing the glories of Madhavendra Puri, we become purified. So we're going to hear some of these glories of Madhavendra Puri. This is the Transcendental Morning News. So Madhavendra Puri, he was an ecstatic lover of Krishna. He went to Vrindavan, and it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that he was experiencing so much ecstasy that he would stand up, and in his ecstasy he would fall down, then he would stand up and he would fall down, and his eyes were filled with tears of love for Krishna. So he was sitting down under one of the trees there in Vrindavan, one of the kalparuksha trees. And while he was sitting there, a young, attractive boy came to him and said, "Madhavendra Puri, I have some milk here for you. Please drink this milk. Why are you fasting? What kind of meditation are you doing?" Madhavendra Puri replied, "Who are you? Where do you live? How did you know I was fasting?" And the boy said, "I'm a Gopal. I'm a cowherd boy. And I was told by the ladies to come here and give you some milk. But I have to go. I'll come back and get the pot later." So Madhavendra Puri is described that he was enchanted by the beauty of this boy. And he was chanting and chanting and chanting. And eventually he went to sleep. And this same boy came to him in a dream and took his hand and led him to the forest nearby. He said, "I'm in this forest. I've been here for many years, suffering the cold and the heat and the wind and the rain. I've observed your activities, and I was thinking, when is Madhavendra Puri going to come and do service for me? Please gather the villagers and take me out of this forest. Bathe me and situate me on the hill nearby." So Madhavendra Puri, he woke up from that dream and he was ecstatic. But he was lamenting, "I didn't recognize Krishna. That was Krishna that came and brought him the milk." But he was lamenting, "I didn't recognize him." So immediately he got up and he gathered the villagers. He went and he got the villagers. "The Lord has come to me. Gopal has come to me in a dream, and he said that we have to go and we have to get this deity out of the forest." So upon hearing this, all the villagers came and they had machetes. It was a deep forest, so they're cutting through all the bush, and they finally found the deity, Gopal. Very heavy, big deity. So the strong villagers, they got the deity, put him on the hill, and they got some marble, big marble slabs, and they put him there. And they got so much water from the nearby lake to cleanse him and to cool him off. So the devotees there were amazed that this great Vaishnava, Madhavendra Puri, had gotten this dream and found this deity. And now they're doing so much nice deity worship. And the villagers from other villages nearby, they heard about this. And they were also wanting to participate in worshiping Gopal. So they asked the villagers there if we could come and we can also perform some nice seva for Gopal. So many villagers were coming by. They would take turns and they would come and they would cook for Gopal. Big festival. So this was going on for a couple years. Madhavendra Puri was taking care of Gopal. And then he had another dream. Gopal said, "I'm still feeling the heat. Please, go to Jagannath Puri and get some sandalwood paste and put this on me. This will help cool my body." So, from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri, it's quite a distance. It's about 1,600 kilometers, about 1,000 miles. Long distance. But what did he do? As soon as he woke up from that dream, he started heading for Jagannath Puri. I don't know how long it took, but he's walking. There's no trains. There's no planes. He's walking. You know, this is what they did back then. You know, walked. So it took some time. So on his way to Jagannath Puri, he goes to one temple, a Gopinath temple. And the prasad at this Gopinath temple had become famous. This kheer, sweet rice, very famous. So Madhavendra Puri, he had heard about how so tasty. So the offering was being made to the deities, and he was thinking of tasting it. It would be nice to taste this kheer and then offer it to his Gopal. But then later he started lamenting again that I'm thinking of tasting this which is being offered to the Lord right now. This is offensive. He was thinking, I'm an offender. I've offended the Lord. I'm thinking of tasting that which is being offered to him now. So, in his transcendental lamentation, he was chanting in the village there. And that night, the pujari had a dream. Gopinath came to him in a dream and said, "By my tricks, I have stolen one pot of sweet rice. There's a devotee in the village here named Madhavendra Puri. I want you to bring this pot of sweet rice to him." And then the pujari woke up. He was ecstatic. The Lord came to him in a dream. So immediately he went, he showered, got dressed, and he went to the altar, and sure enough, there was a pot of sweet rice. So he took it out of the altar, and immediately he went out to the village, and he's calling out, "Oh, he whose name is Madhavendra Puri, please come. The Lord has stolen sweet rice for you. Oh, Madhavendra Puri, whose name, who has come to this village, please come and get this pot of sweet rice. The Lord has stolen it for you." So eventually, Madhavendra Puri, he heard this. And he was ecstatic to hear this. And he went to him and said, "My name is Madhavendra Puri. Oh, you're so fortunate." So this pujari paid dandavats to Madhavendra Puri. And he received this pot of sweet rice. And indeed, it was very tasty. It was so good. But he kept this pot. And every day, he would take a little of this pot, clay pot. He would eat a little bit of it every day. And it's described that it tasted like nectar. This pot. So this is how we come to this verse right here. That Madhavendra Puri was thinking that the people here in the village, they're going to hear very soon that the Lord
has stolen a pot of sweet rice for me. So there's going to be so much honor given to me. I don't want that. So he left. He left the village. He didn't want this patista, this honor. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that this patista, this honor, is like hog feces. Not nice. The devotee doesn't want this, so he avoids it. There was one great devotee, Raghunath Das Goswami. If someone would praise him, he would run away. And if someone would criticize him, he would be like, yes, very good, yes. Continue on. Yeah, good point, yeah. More. Let me hear some more. Anybody here like that? Nobody likes to hear criticism, right? It's just the opposite. If someone glorifies us, so nice. Of course, I'm just speaking for myself, I guess. But this is the nature of a devotee. He doesn't want to be praised. He wants to hear Krishna praised. Because generally when we get praised, we become proud. We become proud. It's described that humility is the crown jewel of devotional service. And here in the purport, Prabhupada says that Madhavendra Puri, he's the king of the Vaishnavas. So he has this great humility. And in the Bhagavad Gita, it's described that different characteristics of someone who is in knowledge. And the first one is humility. 13th chapter. And the next one is pridelessness. Interesting, huh? Because they're very similar. Prabhupada gives a definition of humility in the Srimad Bhagavad, actually the Bhagavad Gita. Humility means not desiring the satisfaction of being honored by others. This is a definition of humility. And pride, when someone gets something, you know, nice car, or a big house, or some position, they become proud. But a devotee doesn't become proud if he gets some position or something. He doesn't become proud. Prabhupada says in a purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if a devotee is able to do some service, but doesn't give credit to Krishna for that service, then ultimately he can't do anything very nicely because of that pride. The pride brings us down, actually. And humility helps us to rise in the service of Krishna. I was just reading, Prabhupada says in a purport that a devotee should be so absorbed, transcendentally absorbed, saturated with the desire to please Krishna, that Krishna looks upon him favorably and gives him devotional service. Then, such a devotee is free of the troubled attraction to material nature. Wouldn't it be nice to be free of being troubled by this material nature? But there's something that we have to do. to attain that. We had to become saturated, absorbed in the service of Krishna. This Madhavendra Puri, he's like that, completely absorbed in Krishna, service to Krishna. No pride. There's a saying in England that the pauper, he's proud of his penny. In the material world, we become proud very easily. But the more we hear the glories of Krishna, the more we'll understand how small we are. We're very small. How small are we? We're so small, we can't even be seen. Just like you see this body here, and I see your bodies, but I don't see you. You know, we're 1/10,000th size of a tip of a hair. We're so small, we can't even be seen with a microscope. That's how small we are. But Krishna is so great. He's so wonderful. And the more we hear how wonderful Krishna is, how great Krishna is, we'll get more and more realization of how small we are. Therefore, we have to always hear and chant, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. We have to hear and chant attentively. If we hear attentively, then we'll become attracted to Krishna. Then we'll become attached to Krishna. And become absorbed in Krishna. It all begins with this attentive hearing. So Madhavendra Puri is very attentive in his sadhana, in his service to Krishna. Therefore, he was such a great Vaishnava. He was such a great Vaishnava that he had God as his disciple. Not once, but twice. Lord Nityananda was the disciple. Madhavendra Puri. Advaita Acharya, disciple of Madhavendra Puri. I don't think there's any instance that I could think of where one person was a spiritual master of two Vishnu Tattvas. Right? Incredible. And not only that, but he was the spiritual master of the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, Ishvara Puri, who was also very, very humble. Towards the end of Madhavendra Puri's life, he became invalid. And his disciple, Ishvara Puri, he would take care of him. He would clean up his feces and urine and just do very menial service for him. But he was a great Vaishnava. But he took this menial service. And what did Madhavendra Puri say to him? He said, "What can I say? But may Krishna be pleased with you." He blessed Ishvara Puri that Krishna be pleased with him. So he got that mercy. Became the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Madhavendra Puri had another disciple, just the opposite, Ramachandra Puri. Ramachandra Puri went in to where Madhavendra Puri was. And Madhavendra Puri, he was lamenting that he had not attained Krishna. This the natural humility of a devotee, that I couldn't attain Krishna. He's such a great devotee, but he was lamenting that I had not attained Krishna. He's lamenting. So Ramachandra Puri said, "Why are you lamenting? Just meditate on Brahman. Just meditate on Brahman. Why are you lamenting so much? So Madhavendrapuri said, get out, you rascal. Get out. If I see your face, be very inauspicious. Get out. So here's the difference. In Navadvip, sometimes Ramachandrapuri, he would be invited by some devotee to take prasad. So he would go there and he would take prasad. And then he would tell his host, "Now you take prasad." No, I'll take later. No, you take prasad. Take prasad. On his insistence, they would take prasad. "Wait, take more. Take more prasad. Take more. Take more prasad. Take more." And then after it would take so much prasad, then he would criticize. "Look at these disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They eat so much." So, we have these two examples of disciples of Madhavendrapuri, so we should follow in the footsteps of Ishwarapuri. So surrendered, so humble, just wanted to render service to Krishna, to Madhavendrapuri. So this desire for fame, for adoration, distinction, this is a disease that the conditioned souls have in this world. But there's a cure for this disease. And that is these doses, these medicinal doses of hearing and chanting from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We may not know how it's going to affect us. Just like a doctor has some patient that's ill and the doctor is giving medicine. The patient doesn't know how the medicine is going to work. But he takes the medicine and he becomes cured of the disease. So we may not know how this is working, this chanting and Hare Krishna and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing the scriptures. But the effect is there. The effect is there. If we continue, we'll experience the result. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that one who understands the meaning of sacrifice receives the result of sacrifice. And the result of this sacrifice is that one approaches the supreme eternal atmosphere. So this is the result of practicing Krishna consciousness, that we're going to get purified. We may be thinking, how is it possible that I'm going to become so pure that I'll go back to that eternal supreme atmosphere, the spiritual world? How is it possible? But then we have to ask the question also, what can Krishna not do? Krishna can do anything, right? He's God. So he can also purify us. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita, that I am that which purifies. Pavitram. Krishna is so pure. Anybody that comes in contact with Krishna in any way gets purified. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagna brahmanahuta. That one who is fully absorbed in Krishna is sure to attain to that spiritual kingdom. because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which that which is offered and that which is consumed is of the same spiritual nature. Just like whatever we take, whatever we eat, it's been offered to Krishna. We don't take bhoga. Why? Because Krishna says, Yogi-sistha-sinaha-shanto. Devotees of the Lord, they're free of sin because they eat food which has first been offered in sacrifice. So we only take prasadam. And we distribute prasadam. So what we're taking is transcendental. And what we're giving is transcendental. Prasadam. Whatever we hear, it's in relation to Krishna. We don't read mundane novels. We don't read newspapers. Yeah. Every morning people, they're reading the newspapers, the karmis. It's all bad news. Yeah. Every morning they read the newspapers, the news on the computer. It's all bad. There's nothing good. No one is inspired after hearing the news. But we also have the news. Every morning we hear Srimad Bhagavatam and we walk away, we're inspired. In the evening we have the Bhagavad Gita. It's inspiring. And not only are we hearing from these great texts of wisdom, but we're giving this knowledge out to others as well. Prahlad Maharaj, he says, I have no anxiety, no problem in my life. Why? Because wherever I go, I'm only hearing your glories. So what problem can I have? No anxiety. But I am concerned about all the souls in this world that are lost in this Maya Sukhaya, this illusory happiness. I am concerned out of love for them. So this is a devotee. He's very happy in his service to Krishna, but at the same time he's sad. Interesting. He's sad upon seeing the suffering of the others. Para dukkha dukkha. He sees others suffering, it gives pain. He sees others happy, it brings joy. So this is the result of people receiving this message of Krishna. Yeah. And chanting the names of Krishna. I remember I was on Harinam one time and one young lady came to me and she said, you know, you Hare Krishnas, you're the happiest people in the world. She says, I see you people all the world. You're always chanting and dancing. Yeah. We're the only group in the world that goes out to the public and we're singing and dancing. So when she said that, I was thinking, yes, I joined the right movement. Yeah. So Krishna's pleased when we distribute this message, when we go out on Harinam. Just like Madhavendra Puri, he was recognized by Krishna. So we also get recognized by Krishna when we go out of our comfort zone to help the conditioned souls. I'll tell you an interesting incident that happened many, many years ago. In America, there was one gentleman who was trying to be president of the United States. So there was a presidential election happening. His name was Mr. Reagan. So many candidates are trying to be president and so many people are voting for the different candidates. And many of them, they have these posters. Vote for Reagan, vote for Carter, you know, vote for this one, vote for that one. So in Gainesville, Florida, we have a nice preaching center. And every Friday night, we have a big Harinam. Maybe about 20 devotees. Nice Harinam on one of the street corners there, near the university, a big university, University of Florida. So one person who was voting for Reagan drove by this Harinam, this fired up Harinam. And when he saw the devotees, he thought, wow, these people are, they're enthusiastic, they're fired up. So he pulled over his car, parked his car, he came out with this sign, vote for Reagan, and he jumped right into the middle of the Harinam with his sign, vote for Reagan. And people were driving by saying, I didn't know the Hare Krishnas are voting for Reagan. Look at that. So then one newspaper reporter drove by and he saw the sign, vote for Reagan, and he took a picture. The next day it was front page. Hare Krishnas with a sign, vote for Reagan. That pitcher won the pitcher of the year in Florida. It must have been a really good pitcher. 3 days later, Reagan became the president. Right? Krishna's mercy, right? So similarly, we're out there, we're distributing the message of Krishna. And so many people, they claim to be God. Just like so many countries, they're doing export. Export, right? So Prabhupada said, India also, we're doing export. Every couple months, there's another God being exported. But we vote for Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the more we go out and we promote Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more we get recognized. And he gives his mercy to us. He says, anybody who knows me as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, he is the knower of everything. And all his desires are satisfied. Yomam evam samuto janati purusodam sasaravid bhajantim sarvapena bharata. So, this is the reality. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are Britya. Britya means that we're the servants of Krishna. And the more we understand this, the more we'll develop this humility. It's interesting, Prabhupada mentions in the last portion of this purport that sometimes these sahajyas, they act like they're humble, so they become famous as a humble person. And sometimes they make a show of detachment, like they're very detached. There was one time Prabhupada was here in India, and there was one Swami who was like that. He was making a show that he's detached. So there was a large amount of rupees in front of him on a table, and he was like this. Making a show of detachment. So the devotee showed that to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, that's all nonsense. They could take a picture of me also, like this. and now use it in the service of Krishna. So this is false renunciation. So many things we can use in the service of Krishna, just like we have this huge temple coming up. Beautiful. So it's costing millions and millions. We don't even know how much it costs. Millions, of dollars. But it's being all used to glorify Krishna. Back in 1974 or so, one newspaper reporter came to Mayapur and he said, generally the Swamis, they're ascetics, they don't live very opulently. Why are you building this big temple and you have all these buildings, and what kind of renunciation is this? And Prabhupada said, if I didn't have all these buildings, you wouldn't even come here and talk to me. He said, oh yeah, good point. Yeah. So, yeah, we can utilize these things to glorify Krishna. And the more we glorify Krishna, the more we get purified. And this is the goal, to become purified. And what does that mean, to be pure? It means that we're acting only for Krishna. Atmendir priti vanchitari balikam, krishnendir priti ichadari premanam. That love means to satisfy the senses of Krishna. There's so many definitions of love, so many songs and poetry and so many definitions of love, but Krishnadas Kaviraj gives this pure understanding, the absolute understanding of what is love. It means to satisfy the senses of Krishna. And what is lust? Lust is to satisfy our own senses. So Krishna has his senses. He has a mind, he has senses. He tastes things. But what is the main ingredient? What is Krishna looking for more than anything else? Love. Patram pushram phalam toyam yame bhakta prayasati. If one offers to me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I'll accept it. So what does Krishna need? He doesn't need anything. He's God. But he's conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. Krishna's controlled by this love. So this is what we should be aspiring for. Prema dana vana vyate darudu jivan. That's a query. We'll tell you more. Deha prema dana. In the Shikshashika, Lord Chaitanya, he's composed these eight verses. But in between these eight verses, there's this verse here that I just quoted. It's a very nice, beautiful verse. So Lord Chaitanya, he's playing the role of a devotee. So he prays to Krishna. Please, Krishna, give me love for you. And all I want as salary for my service to you is love. This is the salary that we want for our service to Krishna. Love for him. So this is the goal. And if we achieve that, as Prabhupada would many times say at the end of his lectures, the result of this, serving Krishna, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. We have some time for questions or comments or reflections. Here is a microphone. Can you bring that to him? He's right behind you there in the red shirt.
Thank you so much for class. I want to ask about this humility. Sometimes I can see in myself that I have no so much this quality. No, like, it's not easy for me this quality. But I want to ask you: in one point, you tell that we must go out and show others the Prabhupada's mercy and Harinam Sankirtan. And I want to ask you, what is the principal qualification that you need for go out and preaching the glories of Krishna? Because, for example, in me, I have not this humility, no? And I have not this enthusiasm, all of this, but somehow I want to say thank you to Prabhupada, and I'm trying to go out to the street, but in some point I say, but I'm not Vaishnava, no? I feel bad, no? Because I say I cannot be an example, no? And but in somehow I want to say thank you. I have not more, no? But I want to say thank you to Prabhupada and to my Guru Maharaj and also all of you. And what is this qualification that we need, no? And in which qualification I can start to work for maintain me going out to the streets each day, try to preach in the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Thank you. Very nice question. There's two things that not only you, but we should all pray for in order to preach Krishna consciousness. One is tolerance. You're very tolerant. Because we'll get rejection, or sometimes it's very cold, just like now in Europe. There's devotees distributing books. It's cold, it's wet, it's snowing. But still, they're going out. Some places it's very hot. In South India, it gets very hot. In some places in South America, also, it gets very hot. You have to tolerate the heat. You have to tolerate the cold. You have to tolerate your own mind. That's the most difficult thing to tolerate, is our mind. Because the mind is a rascal. The mind doesn't have compassion. So we have to pray for tolerance. And pray for compassion. Here in the verse, Prabhupada says that in this world, practically everybody is envious. Icha dvesa samudvena dvanda mohena bharata. All living entities are born into this world bewildered by the dualities arising from desire and hate. People are born in this world with hate. Yeah. So compassion is just the opposite, complete opposite of hate, of envy. So we should pray for this. Man proposes, God disposes. So if we pray for that, then guess what? Krishna will give it. But we have to want it. We have to want this compassion. Rupa Goswami says, Na prema shravanadi bhakti avivayo gostava vaishnavo jnana va sabha karma va kiyada ho sa japti apyasti va. He says, I have no love for Krishna. I'm not even qualified to hear your glories. I'm not born in a good family. I have no knowledge. Basically, I have no good qualification at all. But it is said that you give your mercy to those who are most fallen. So I'm praying for that mercy. And this hope that I will get this mercy is burning in my heart. So Lord Chaitanya is very merciful. Krishna is very merciful. So we should pray for this mercy and pray to also be able to give this mercy out to others. Okay?
Yes, in this way, I want to maybe some, because I'm coming to Mayapur for the association, big souls like you are. And I want to ask you, in this way of this compassion, this jivadoya, maybe the last question, if it's possible, is which is the way for get this jivadoya? Because all the time I was thinking this, no? Maybe I have nothing, but I want this. I really want this. I really start feeling me bad if I take in prasad and others cannot, no? I really want this. But maybe you can explain me the way, no, for this one. No, for this.
Well, if you really want it, then you'll get it. Yeah. We're attached to the things that we think of. Right? Whatever it is we're thinking of, that's what we're most attached to. So if you really want it, then you'll think of it. You'll want Krishna's mercy. You'll want this compassion. You'll want this tolerance. You'll want to serve Krishna. Yeah. If that's in your mind. Yeah. That's what you want. So we should pray for that to be in our mind. Not this, all this other nonsense. Just like now we have this corona virus. But there's a much bigger virus. It's called the Ahankara virus. Or the Maya virus. And what are the symptoms of this Maya virus? Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. This is the symptom. And we have the cure. Right here. For this very prominent virus that people don't even know. Just like now, there's so many people that have this coronavirus, they don't know it. But practically everyone in the world has this virus, this Maya virus. And they don't know it. So we got to let them know you have this disease. Yeah. And once they find out they have the disease, they'll do what we're doing. We're trying to get purified. Any other question or a comment? Yes, Prabhu. All right, well, actually, from the other class, we should go. There's a Mataji here.
It's like a comment. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, when he was giving some seminar in France, and he taught us a very nice exercise. To dovetail our tendency to find fault, he asked us, we should approach somebody who knows us well and ask them to tell us very honestly but also kindly how we can improve as a devotee, what are our shortcomings, what are our faults. And I think it would be good if everybody does it in ISKCON from the top to the bottom.
Thank you, very good. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Ki Jai. His wisdom is still coming, you know. He reasons ill who say the Vaishnavas die while still living in sound. The Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much for your class. You were talking about how the devotee is joyful when he sees the other's happiness, and how the devotee is in distress when he sees the others' distress. So when we see the people suffering outside, animals suffering, so what is the, how can we see this in proper way? How can we see this condition of the souls without falling in a condition of sentimental lamentation?
Uh-huh. Well, lamentation or that people are suffering is good. That's a sign that we're healthy. Whether it's sentimental lamentation or just lamentation, that's good. That's if we're feeling that these people are suffering, you know, they need Krishna, that's good. Yeah. I don't fully understand your question, actually. Now you're lamenting of their suffering condition. You're saying sentimental lamentation. So maybe you could.
Sentimental lamentation means, for example, people, they see the children, how the children are suffering, and the people feel distress. Somebody say, "Oh, I'm lamenting because the people are suffering so much. We cannot do anything about the situation," but the devotee's lamentation is a kind something different, because maybe he's conscious about, okay, the people are suffering, maybe just because of karma.
Well, we can help them. There's nothing that we can't do. We can help them. That's what we're doing. We're going out in book distribution, we're doing Harinam, we're doing Prasad distribution. You know, sentimental lamentation would be, well, they're lamenting, but yeah, they can't do anything to help them. But we can. That's what this whole movement is about. This is a movement meant to help people. We're trying to help people, help ourselves as well. So, Maharaj?
Hare Bol. I'll try to be very concise, so we're over time. Picking up on this question about sentimental compassion and versus what you might call scientific compassion, is that what we might be getting at here is in the sentimental is lamenting for the simply for the bodily pains and pains or deprivations of people, which is not really going to solve the disease that you're referring to of the entanglement in material nature. But Satsvarupa Maharaj wrote a book called Vaishnava Compassion, and he has one chapter, and he calls, care about the covering also. In other words, it's not against Vaishnava principles to also, be very concerned and feel not pity but feel real compassion for the external aspects or even the bodily aspects, but at the same time, without a more profound understanding of their situation, then we may just try to cure the symptom without curing the disease, which is the disease that you referred to, the disease of materialism, bhava rog, sometimes it's described. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.